after the we got done with the, what a beautiful name, all of a sudden I knew in my spirit that a healing anointing had dropped in, and I started strumming some chords because I was like, what do you want me to do with that, Lord? And well, he told us, praise God. And so you just walk out of here, Father, I thank you, I'm healed. I thank you, I'm healed. You say, well, hands weren't laid on me. That's okay. And Matthew chapter 8, the centurion came about his servant and said, my servant's at home, he's sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and lay hands on him, that he'll be well. And he said, I'm not worried that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and he shall be healed. And Amen. Jesus said, yeah, okay, and he got healed. And so it doesn't have to be through the transmission of the laying on of hands. It doesn't have to be anointing with oil, but faith's involved. And if you just receive that by faith, praise God, we'll have testimonies. And hallelujah. And one thing I did forget to mention now, since we do have our Wednesday service, those services have been precious. And we just hope that everybody can, you know, avail themselves to it. We worship for a time. It's just the way we're led to do it right now. Worship for a time, and then we pray. And we do pray in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And so if that's something you're unfamiliar with, we need to get you familiar with that. You know, it's Jesus said this. He said, people that are not filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues, they're lacking a supernatural power. And that doesn't mean you're less loved or any less heaven-bound, but there's something there for you. And so we want everybody to walk in that supernatural power. And I know it's something that confuses people, and people have been taught wrong, and people maybe get in a ditch about it, but the Bible's clear on it, you know. When you read what the Word says about it, it clears up all the confusion, you know. Tongues is just praying from your spirit. You need to understand you're not a natural being. You're a spiritual being, and you're more spirit than you are natural. And how do we know that? Well, when you die, the natural stays here, the spirit doesn't. And Paul said this, he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so he certainly wasn't down on it, but he was pro for it, praise God. And he said, if I pray in tongues, he says, my spirit prays. And so people say, what is that language? What is that mumbo jumbo that you know, just sounds like a bunch of gibberish? It's your spirit praying to the God who is the Father of spirits. Hallelujah. And so I don't know why I'm on that right now, but there's people in here that God wants to bring you over and get you into a new level. And, you know, Jesus said this. He commanded the disciples in Acts chapter 2. He said, do not leave. Actually, Acts chapter 1, he said, do not leave until you receive this power from on high. He said, you can't go out in a world where the devil is after you and harassing you without this power. Well, they did. They waited in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Ghost was poured out. And then you see all through the New Testament in Acts, or I should say the book of Acts, when the church was getting started, when the disciples would come upon people, if they knew they were born again, the first thing they asked them is, did you receive this power? Did you get this Holy Ghost power? Remember what Jesus said in Mark 16. He said, they that believe in my name, they will speak with new tongues. And I know that's foreign to a lot of people, and a lot of people get turned off by that, but that's just because it's ignorance, or you've been, you know, have a bad taste in your mouth concerning other places you've been. But I'm here to tell you that the greatest Christian that walked the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he had a billboard for Jesus and tongues, and he said, I thank my God. I do this more than all of you. Well, if a man like that, that was used by God, is saying, I'm praying in tongues all the time, there must be something to it. Amen. And so I just say that to hopefully stir something in some of you that have heard me preach on it, but you've kind of left it off to the side, or it's not something you want to go down the road of. I'm telling you, besides getting born again, it's the greatest experience I've ever had in my life. What do you think your pastor's doing on the way to church? He's tongue-talking. Yeah, I'm fellowshipping with God, because the Bible tells us all these wonderful benefits of praying in tongues, that if you don't pray in tongues, you don't get them. And like power, praying out the perfect will of God, edifying, building yourself up. So all I'm doing all morning on the way to church, you wonder, what is he drinking? What kind of coffee does that guy drink? I drink the Holy Ghost coffee. Praise God. It's filled with power and utterance. And so we encourage you along those lines, and you know, don't just be that person that says, I don't want anything to do with that. Maybe there's things you don't know and things you're missing out on. So we do that on Wednesday nights. Praise God. We've had great blessings, you know, and great things have gone forth, gifts of the Spirit and things. And so we're just giving God a chance to move. And as we continue Wednesday nights, you know, people are welcome to leave after an hour, but we will start increasing and stretching our prayer time to get into things a little bit more. So, amen. Commercial over. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. This is part 4 of our series, our faith series. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. You know, there's a whole lot of things that I was anti when I came into Christianity. I was anti raising my hands in church until I found out that's what God liked. I was anti opening my mouth in church and praising Him with my mouth until I found out that's what God likes in the Bible. I was anti giving 10% to my local church until I found out that's what God likes. I was anti giving on top of 10% until I found out that's what God likes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was anti a whole lot of things, you know. And one of the things I was anti is that tongues business until I found out it's what God likes and the benefits and the blessings of it. And so be a person that cares about what God likes. If God likes it, you should like it. Doesn't matter if your flesh, remember, your flesh isn't you. You need to learn that. Your mind isn't you. The spirit man is you. In fact, your flesh and your mind are the two things that the Bible says you need to do something with once you're born again. It says your real person, the real you, the spirit man, needs to dominate and rule this and rule this. So this might not like things, this might not like things, but that's okay. This and this isn't the real you. This is the real you. Amen? And I'm telling you, this likes everything that's in here. And this likes everything that he likes. So be that person that says, you know what? It's not about what I think. It's not about what I've been grown up, what I've been taught. Because how many, you know, people get stuck in their ways. And we hold on to our traditions and we hold on to what so-and-so and what religion has taught us. And we could miss out on our whole life of blessing and all that God has for us. And so don't be that person. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, that commercial ought to inspire you to find out more about it. Because I'm telling you, as your pastor, if you're here under my ministry, I'm assuming I'm your pastor. That means you've given me liberty to speak into your life. You actually have trusted your life with a shepherd to guide you and lead you into the most important matters in life. And so I'm here to tell you from that place of authority, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, I'm here to tell you, you are living a lesser life than God has for you. I'm not saying you're lesser. I'm not saying that God doesn't love you as much. I'm saying what's available to you. You know, I have friends that are, Jesus said you'll have power when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. I have friends who are Amish. Well, they don't have the same kind of power as me. It's a lot easier for me to do my laundry than them. It's a lot easier for me to see at night in my house than them. It's a lot easier for me to get to the store and back than it is them. Why? It all comes down to I got power. They don't have the same power. It's the same thing. They're not lesser people. They're not lesser valuable people in society. They just have a lesser quality of life in the sense of power and how easy things are. That's not deniable. Now, whether or not they, you know, don't care or not, that's not the point. The point is it's easier to do things with power. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, you're living a lesser life than what is available. It's a life of power versus a life of no power. And I'm telling you, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you start speaking in tongues and fellowship and doing what the Word says, it's like a whole new world of Christianity opens up to you. You go deeper with God, the scriptures become more alive, He speaks to you more, the supernatural becomes more real in your life. And if you are wondering about that, I've preached many series on it. Go back in the archives, there's 7-8 week series on this. We have books, we have material we can get in your hands. But it's apparent someone needs to hear this right now. Because something in your life is being held back and it's only going to be that power that's going to help you get going. So Father, help us today. Lord, I know this service started a little different, but Father, we're always open to the leading of the Spirit. Father, I'm not here to have some canned Sunday morning setup, Father. If you want to interrupt us with a healing anointing and play an extra song and heal bodies, do it. If you want to put it on my heart to talk about praying in tongues, Father, I don't talk about it very much, but when you prompt me to, I will. Father, do it. We're okay, Father, be it interrupted. We want what you want. We like what you like. That ought to be our confession, Father. I like what God likes. Praise God. If you like me being in church, then I want to be there. If you like me tithing, then I want to tithe. If you like me speaking in tongues, then I want to speak in tongues. If you like me walking in love, then I want to walk in love, Father. I like what you like. So, Father, we thank you for this service this morning. Thank you for boldness and utterance. Lives will be changed today. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Mark 5 and verse 25, we're going to skip down to verse 34 for time's sake, Mark 5, verse 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And this was the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And just to remind you and catch you up where she was, remember, she was desperate. 12 years suffering, spent all she had, nothing better, grew worse. The doctors couldn't figure it out. She's in a mess in life, and she got desperate. And the Bible says when she came to Jesus, she touched his garment, and Jesus said to her in verse 34, "Daughter, your faith made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague." And when I see that verse and I hear "your faith," I think about her personally as a woman, and I think, wow, that excites me, because that woman is in a far lesser position than any one of us. Say, what do you mean? Again, not talking about valuable, not talking about how much God loves her. But you know what she didn't have? She didn't have a word of faith, Pastor. Sowing the word into her on a week-by-week basis. You know, sending out slick texts with the word, having YouTube with Brother Hagin and Pastor Nancy Dufresne and camp meetings and all these different things. She didn't have that. She wasn't some faithful churchgoer who had been at it all her life and all of a sudden her number came up because of her faithfulness. No. She was a woman bound by sickness in her home at the lowest of the lows in life, but she learned the key. There's a secret of faith. That faith can transform and change no matter who you are. And we have to be careful and make sure we look at a woman like this. Blind Bartimaeus was the same way. He was a nobody in society. He was a castaway in society. Someone that begged on the highway side, right? Yeah, nobody. And look what happened in his life. We hear great faith testimonies from, you hear things, stories from my life and Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and we talk about Brother Hagin testimonies and things, and we got to be careful not to get in the mindset that that's just reserved for the ministers. This woman wasn't a minister. This woman wasn't a faithful churchgoer. This woman wasn't moving heaven and earth spiritually, but she walked in faith and it changed her whole world. What can faith do for you? Praise God. And of course, the first 2 weeks we looked at what it was. We don't have time to review. But last week we started to see where faith is and how to get it. And in Romans 10 and verse 8, and we're going to pick up from there today. But in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Now, if you don't know, you're part of a word of faith camp. If people say, what camp are you belong to? We're word of faith. Now, if you look that up on the internet, you might not want to be word of faith because it gets criticized a lot, and also it gets put in the wrong category of what actually the word of faith is. The criticisms of the word of faith are that we're just people that name it and claim it. We can have whatever we say. We just put a name on it and we can just sprinkle some fairy dust or wave some magic wand and get whatever we want. That's not the biblical word of faith. The biblical word of faith is here. He says, it's the word of faith which we preach. Which he's going to give you an example in verse 9 of what the word of faith is, where he says in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so he's talking about in verse 9 a promise that's available to you. Just like there's many promises the Bible say that are available to you, but they're all received the same way. But he used the promise of salvation here. And he says the word of faith preached and received is how somebody would walk into salvation. Well, what does that mean? Well, they would hear the word on that promise. What is the word on that promise? The word on that promise is the permission slip that you can have it, that it's available to you. Just like when you hear on healing, that's God saying, healing's available to you, or prosperity, or things for your family, or your life. The word is your permission slip. The word is your opportunity to walk into what you're not experiencing. And so he's saying we preach salvation. We preach salvation, but salvation doesn't just come automatically. It comes through the word of faith, which is what? You received it, you believed it in your heart, and you confessed it with your mouth. And he says in verse 10, this is how it works. He says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so we saw last week that faith to be existing, to be working, to be powerful is in two places. It's in your heart, but it's also in your mouth. And if it's not in those places, it's not faith. Go to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place here because we're going to come back to this place. But go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Paul said this about this topic. He said, we having that same spirit of faith, according as it is written, what does the spirit of faith look like? Believing, and therefore I spoke. Notice it's in two places, and then Romans 10, what we just looked at, said the believing's in the heart. So that location, the belief starts and grows in the heart. It's then released through the mouth. And so Paul said the vital sign, that word spirit means vital, the vital signs are the things that show us that we have faith, is if it's in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. And so we looked last week about, we likened it to loading a gun. That, you know, a lot of people will jump to Mark 11:23 that says we can have what we say. And that's what the end of that verse says. And we focus on that part. And so we want to just start getting our words out there. We think, well, I'm saying it. And a lot of people have been soured and turned off by it because they're doing what the Bible says. They're confessing. I mean, they're confessing religiously. They have confession lists. And time is going by and by and by. And they're not, their situations aren't changing. And they get sour towards the word of faith message. Well, this confession business doesn't work. But Jesus didn't just say in Mark 11:23 that you'll just have what you say with any old words. He said you'll have what you say when you speak words that are laced or filled with faith or belief. He says you have to believe the things that you say, not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. And so we looked at that last week of making sure that before anything, we take time to put faith in our heart. Amen? And now go back to Romans 10, but look at verse 17 now. Romans 10 and verse 17. We showed you how to get that faith. The great thing about getting faith is it's not a struggle. The devil will make it seem like a struggle, like how in the world will I ever be able to believe for that which the doctor is telling me is impossible? How can I ever believe for increase in abundance and my needs to be met when I can see what I make, I can see what my bills are telling me, I can see what my bank account says? How can I ever believe for anything different? And you try to work it up in your mind or you try to work it up in your flesh of how can I get over that hump of doubt and unbelief? You don't have to do that. Just do the word, and the word, the spiritual law of the word will work. He says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by working yourself up in a tizzy, by stressing about it. No. Faith cometh by simply hearing and hearing the word of God. If you have a mountain of sickness in front of you and it's an impossible diagnosis and the symptoms are as real as the day is long and your mind just can't comprehend, how can I believe for healing? All you need to do to get that faith is get in the Word on healing. Just get in the Word, spend time in the Word, saturate yourself in the Word, and something amazing will happen. Faith will rise up. And you'll know because 2 Peter 1:19 told us that it's you do this until the day dawn arises in your hearts. So in your heart where belief is, there may be darkness right now concerning healing, concerning prosperity, concerning whatever you need to have faith for. But if you'll stay with the word and give heed unto it like a light in a dark place, all of a sudden the Bible says the day is going to dawn in your heart. And how many of you know the difference between night and day? You're not wondering when you wake up in the morning and the sun is shining, is it still night? Or when the moon's out and it's dark, is it daytime? You're not wondering, you know. And so how do I know when I'm in faith? Well, when that day dawn arises in your heart, it sheds light in there. And all of a sudden, you'll be in a position where it's like, oh no, I'm persuaded that sickness is leaving my body. You know, I was always talk about that original testimony of starting the church, and I had no business believing for $2,000 a month. It scared me, it frightened me, it terrified me actually. And so I knew I better get in the faith school and start learning some things. So I just saturated myself in abundance messages, prosperity messages, financial scriptures, supply scriptures, all that God's more than enough type of stuff. And then magically I went from being so scared and I can't do this to all of a sudden one day it was like, oh, $2,000 short a month, bring it on. Let's do it. And I actually got to the place, and this is not an exaggeration, I'm trying to look like some spiritual giant. Listen, this is available to everybody that will put the time in. It got exciting being down $2,000 short every month because I knew that I knew it was going to come to pass, and I was thrilled to see how's he going to do it this month. What interesting, crazy, fun thing's going to happen? Because it was no longer I hope it happens, or what if it doesn't? No, I was in faith. When you're in faith, you're convinced. How do you get there? By the word. And so we get that in our heart, but we know that the Bible says that it does not stop in our heart. The word of faith which we preach, which you believe in your heart, release your mouth. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. And so we don't leave it in our heart. It does no good in our heart. You know, I told you the story of the first deer I killed and how I unloaded the gun on all the rest of the deer that were with that deer. And thankfully, I missed all those deer. But the first deer, it's kind of the same situation. The first deer I ever shot at, I remember I was using my dad's 16-gauge Ithaca deer slayer. The thing was, it seemed so big. I could hardly, you know, I was so young, I'd get the thing up, shoot it, and have to drop it down because it's so heavy. And you know, and so I'm sitting out there with this guy named Doug, who I called Uncle Doug back then. He was a character. And my dad was going through the brush. My dad was going to go through all the thick stuff where all the deer were bedded and laying to push them out to the field. And when the deer were going to come out running through the field, that's when World War III was about to start. And I remember hearing rustling through the brush. And all of a sudden, here came the deer, four or five deer just bounding out. And they're going through the field. Up and down like this, and I hear Doug yell, "Shoot 'em, Mikey!" That's the kind of people I grew up hunting with. Shoot 'em! I didn't have my hunting license. I didn't really know any. This is my first time shooting deer. So I did. I pulled out, boom, boom, and I unloaded five shells that field. I don't know where they went or what direction they went. I know it didn't hit a deer anyways. And they're laughing and laughing. And you know, my mentality was, what good do the bullets do in the gun? Right? What good do they do in the gun? Get them out. You know, it's kind of like that mentality. You ever heard in like basketball or sports, they'll say, you know, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Well, you can't hit a deer. You leave the bullets in the gun, so you might as well just start popping. Boom, boom. But the same thing is, faith does no good in your heart. It does no good in your heart until it's released. Go back to Romans 10 and verse 10. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believes." That's great, great, you're in belief now. But belief doesn't bring the promise. "With the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation," or salvation is the promise, you could say under the promise. It's the same way you're going to get healing. With the heart man believes in healing, but with the mouth it's going to, confessions made unto the promise of healing, prosperity, anything, same thing. This is how it works. You get it in here and you unload here. If you leave it in here, you're not going to get the promise. Brother Hagin said it this way: the confession brings the possession. And it does. Without the confession, how did you get saved? You first believed in your heart, but you got it how? When you opened your mouth. Then it became real unto you. Hallelujah. Go back to the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 27. And you're going to see this principle working. A believing, then a speaking. Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. Talking about the woman with the issue of blood. It says, "When she heard of Jesus," she came in the press by and touched his garment. Well, when she heard of Jesus, what is she hearing? She's hearing about the word. Jesus is the word, what he's doing out there. Well, what's happening when she's hearing of Jesus? Faith's rising up in her heart, right? She first heard. How many times in the Bible where it talks about they came to hear and then be healed? Why? The hearing always precedes the healing. Why? Because the hearing leads to the faith leads to the promise. So she heard, got faith. Remember what I told you, that when you have faith, you don't have to put on an act, right? When my mom found out that we were having a baby in 9 months, which would turn out to be Caleb, and the next day she showed up with 18 brand new outfits for him. She didn't, when she heard that, what instantly she believed there's a baby coming. So she didn't think, okay, if there's a baby coming, I probably should do something that makes it look like I believe in it. No, she did something that made it look like she believes in it naturally. She talked about the baby. She was excited, she rejoiced, she shouted, she was happy, she cried, she laughed. All those things came natural. Well, that's the way it is with faith. If you get faith in you, you're not sitting there thinking, okay, I probably should daydream about what it would look like if I was healed. No, when you believe you're healed, you're daydreaming about it. When you believe the money's, oh, you're daydreaming about those things. And so the Bible says she heard of Jesus. And so naturally, faith axe, it's going to come out. And she did. She heard, she believed, and then there was an axe. And she came in the press behind and touched his garment. But then look at verse 28. For she said, and the Amplified Bible says, for she kept on saying. She kept on saying. What? She believed first, and then the saying came until what happened? The promise came into her life. She kept saying, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Hallelujah. She was showing us how faith works. Praise God. Go with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. You know how many times I've preached on this? And you know how many of you out there, I'm going to say this by boldness, by revelation of the Holy Ghost, still are not saying a single confession every day. I know there's a bunch out there. How do I know? The Holy Ghost. Well, how do I get you to start doing it? Preach more word to you. Remember when Jesus was in his own hometown, could there do no mighty work? He said he marveled at the unbelief of people. You know what his action was to get them to believe? The Bible says, so he went back around the cities, preaching and teaching. And I know that there's some of you that need some things. You need financial changes. You need healing changes. You need changes in your family. You need changes in your life. And you're still not saying anything. And I have been up here and preached this time, blue in the face, and you're still saying nothing. Well, you can just keep expecting to get nothing. Keep expecting it not to change. Because this is how it works. This is how it happens. Mark 11 and verse 12, it says that on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything on there. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Well, if Jesus answered the tree, you don't answer something until somebody says something first, then you answer it. Apparently the tree was talking to him. Now maybe not with a voice that people could hear, but spiritually the tree was talking, saying, I'm lack, you're not going to eat, you're going to struggle. Your bills do that to you. Your body does that to you, right? Your situation talks to you all the time. Well, Jesus showed us what to do with that. He answered it. And we'll see if that happens to be one of the messages we have, because some people are getting tormented because they just don't open their mouth and answer these things. It says, no man eat fruit from you hereafter, and his disciples heard it. Well, what did Jesus do? He put a curse on the fig tree. Well, when you put a curse on the fig tree, you're wanting the fig tree to change. For a tree to no man eat fruit from ever again, that means something went wrong with the fig tree. Something went bad with, just this morning I was walking with my dog and I saw, you know, some branches that were off in the road, and I looked to see where that had come from, and I saw that it was a dead tree. I mean, you can tell the difference between a tree that's alive and a tree that's been dead. Well, same thing with the cursed fig tree. It's going to look different. But notice what Jesus did to initiate change. We already know that when he spoke, he believed what he said. He's the word. He didn't have a bit of doubt and unbelief in him. But when he wanted something to change, he opened his mouth. Why? Because faith changes things. And faith is in two places, in here and then out here. He answered the tree, said, no man eat fruit from you hereafter, and his disciples heard it. And then they went to Jerusalem, verse 15, but then we drop down to verse 20. I know, I preached this a million times. But maybe this is the time you're finally going to start saying something every day. Maybe this will be a time. I mean, I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost told me that there's a good bunch of us that are still every single day needing things and not saying a thing. And you're backwards in your thinking that you're going to get it. Why do you think you're going to get it? Because you're a good person? That ain't how you get it. Why are you thinking it's going to change? Because you go to church? That's not how you get it. The woman with the issue of blood was not a churchgoer. We don't know if she was a good person or a bad person. But how'd she get it? She believed and spoke. Amen. It's true. He said, in the morning as they passed by the fig tree, they saw it dried up from the roots. So it changed. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Well, one thing we need to understand and learn about this, and we're going to talk about this in a whole message in this series, is patience. Oh, that's the disqualifier for most people. It is. We can all walk out of here fired up about our healing and our prosperity, and then a week goes by, and it's like, oh, crap, this ain't working. You just voided all the faith you had. It's just the truth. Well, we know that this didn't happen as soon as Jesus said it, because Peter would have said, wow, look, he would have called it out then. But when Jesus spoke to it, they must have just went on by thinking, He's losing it. He needs more sleep. What the heck's wrong with this guy? But then the next morning, it's different. He says, Master, look. The fig tree that you cursed, it's withered away. It changed. Now, this is what you need to get. Jesus was not just out putting on a show to be a show-off. He wasn't just like, wow, look at my power. Look at the ability that I have. No. He's trying to tell us something for eternity. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says if all the works that Jesus did were put in the, there wouldn't have been enough books to contain it at the time that the Bible was written. You know, all the books in the world couldn't contain. There's so much. So there's so much that's not in here. But what's in here is specifically in here for a purpose. And he made sure to put this example in here for us. And they said, what you cursed is withered away. They were shocked. And Jesus answered and said unto them. Now, you're going to read where the Bible says, have faith in God. And that's true. Because yet God is the one that causes it to come to pass. You ultimately have to have faith in God. But the original rendering of the Greek, and in my Bible, in the margin, it tells me this, and if you look it up in concordance or you study this out, you'll see that it's true, is actually what Jesus was saying. And when you read the context of it, you'll see he was giving them a lesson. Instead of having faith in God, he's telling them, have the faith of God. Or have faith like God has faith. How many of you know Jesus was God on the earth? And he demonstrated how you get something to change. By what? Believing and speaking to it. And then the disciples are amazed. And Peter's like, wow. But Jesus then says to them, no, you have the faith of God. Or you do things like God is doing. Yes, you've seen me do it, but I'm telling you, you can do things like God is doing. And then he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, now he makes it personal to the disciples, and then he makes it personal to us, that whosoever, well, good, we didn't have to be there that day, we're included in it anyways, that whosoever would say unto the mountain. So now he's saying, don't be shocked that I did this. If you'll do things like God does it, which I'm God on the earth, I'm doing things like God. Remember, Jesus only acted as a God agent on the earth. I call it the Jesus rule. What is the Jesus rule? If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. You're confused about who your Heavenly Father is? Look at Jesus. Jesus said, I'm only here to do and say and carry out the will of my Father. He was a walking, talking God robot. He only did what the Father wanted. He only said what the Father wanted. So anything we see Jesus do or say, we know that's the will of the Father. And so now he's saying, don't look at just me doing this. I'm saying you can do it, and not just you, but whosoever will do this. Will what? Say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. Here it is. He will have whatsoever he says. Now, I don't know why we go a different route in receiving and try to figure everything out in the natural. Try to figure everything out in our minds, right? Stress about it, lose sleep. Look at the absolute ease of getting things. It's simple. Your healing is not hard. You've made it hard. You've listened to lies about it. The calendar's told you it's hard. It's not hard. He simply said, if I can get you to believe, and if I can just get you to open your mouth, you'll have it. That's it. Look at how simple he's made it. Why don't we just rejoice and receive that? Amen. Naaman, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. I don't want to do that. What do you mean? It's easy. Yeah. If he would have asked you something hard, they said, go do what's easy. And Jesus is saying, you want change? Just open your mouth. You don't have to stress about it. You don't have to sit there and wonder. You don't have to try to calculate it and figure it out in your head. No, get faith in you and just open your mouth and talk to the mountain. That's it. Just speak to the mountain and it'll go. Just rest in it, praise God. Now, when he said back in verse 22, have faith in God, or the original Greek says have the faith of God. Think about what he's telling you you're able to do. He's saying, I want you to work something the way God Almighty works it. So what's he saying? The way it worked for God will also work for you. When you put the word in your mouth, It's just as powerful as the word in God's mouth. What do I mean by that? Well, he told you, have faith like God does. Well, how does God do it? He puts the word that he believes in his mouth. Let there be light. Right? Oceans, right? Trees, land, all that stuff. How did he get it? He believed and spoke it. What about with Abraham? The Bible says that with Abraham, remember what God did? He took a man by the name of Abram and added a ham on it. He did. Abram, a ham. Abraham. He added a ham to Abraham. It changed the whole thing. Because back then, the meanings of names were very significant. And Abraham in the Hebrew means father of many nations. He named him this before there was a child. But he says, this day I'm calling you Abraham. And then remember what Romans 4:17 tells us, that God calleth those things which be not as though they are. What does he do? Something he wants changed? What did Jesus say to the fig tree? He called a lively looking fig tree, I call you cursed. He spoke the change to it. What did God speak to the darkness? I speak light to you. What did he speak to a 100-year-old man? I call you Abraham. I call things which be not as though they are. Why? That's how God does things. So how do we do things? We look at our mountain of sickness, we say, you're gone, I call you healed. You look at your mountain of poverty and say, you're gone, I call you prosperous. Money's coming. That's how you do it. And it's easy when you get that in your heart, the belief in your heart. But look at what God is saying. He's saying, act like me and you'll have results like me. How simple. Just copy him. You don't have to try to figure it out on your own. I'm always amazed when Caleb, he's over there helping his mom and children's church, I'm always amazed. He thinks he knows something better than me. And he tries to figure out a different way, and it's just like, buddy, there's certain things that I've already gone down the road. I'm not saying he can't ever know anything, but a lot of times, you know, it's just him trying to stump or trump his dad, and it's like, the easy way is just follow the one that's having success. Do it like him. This is how God has done things. But somehow we thought stressing about it or thinking about it or talking about it to other people or worrying about it or trying to figure out in our own minds how it's going to change. No. Change is simple. Just talk to the mountain. I'm trying to make it simple for you here today. Isaiah 55 will help you to see things. Remember what we said concerning faith, that you can't separate faith from the word. There's no such thing as true faith without the word. The word is what leads to faith. Without the word, there is no faith. Why? Because Peter can't walk on water by himself. The only thing that gave Peter permission to walk on water was when the word said he could. Well, there's certain things you're facing that the natural is telling you can't have. Your body, your doctors are telling you no, or finances or whatever, and it's telling you no. But the word comes in and tells you you can have something different. It gives you the foundation to step out into the unknown. Out on the end of that branch where it's just bobbing up and down. I mean, you're all the way out in the end. The word's given you that permission. So you can't have faith without the word, right? How did I have faith for my house? Well, it wasn't because my bank account said I could have that house. It wasn't because my paycheck said I could have that house. It was only because the word said I could. And that word turned into faith for that house. How did I have faith for my healing? It wasn't because my symptoms were telling me I could be healed. It wasn't because the doctors were saying there's a medicine and there's therapy we can do. It was only because the word said I could have it, and I got faith in the word. And so you can't separate faith from the word. And so when he's talking, now think about this, when the Bible says you believed and then you speak, what actually are you speaking? You're speaking what you believe, but what are you actually believing? You're actually believing the word. So when you're speaking to sickness, you're speaking the word to that sickness. You're speaking the word to that poverty or that situation, right? You're open your mouth. Jesus opened his mouth. He was the word. He's speaking the word. This will help you. Go to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. It'll help you to understand why you need to be speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And I love this, being a faith preacher, that he started the next part of the verses with this one. Because he's telling you right off the bat, stop with how you think it should work. Stop with how you think I should do things. He's telling you right off the bat, what I do is not going to make sense to you. Right? What I do is not going to be how maybe you would do it. But he's telling you that right off the bat. I always use the example of electricity. I'm thankful for electricity. I enjoy electricity. When I go hunting with my friends in Ohio, and I'm walking around in the dark at night with my cell phone light, I'm thankful for electricity. I like electricity. But I have no idea how electricity works. I have no idea. I just know I hit a switch and it comes on. And that's all I know about it. I mean, and don't bother trying to tell me about it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just glad it does. But the point is, I don't understand it at all. If I try to even think about it, it boggles my mind. How did this happen? How did people, all that stuff. But I don't walk into a dark room and get tripped up because I don't understand it or I can't figure it out. I just do it because I know it works. Well, it's the same thing here. He's telling you right off the bat, put your thoughts aside. Put your thoughts aside when it comes to this faith stuff, because when you're going through hell on earth, let me tell you, walking by dog and saying, my body's healed in the name of Jesus, it feels pointless. It feels pointless, like nothing's happening. Nothing's being accomplished. But in fact, in the spirit realm, mountains are being moved with every word that comes out of my mouth. Hallelujah. So he's telling you, don't think like you think, put your thinking aside. Now here we go. He says, for that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So stop with your thoughts and your ways. For as the rain, verse 10, comes down and the snow comes down from heaven and it returns not there. Now let's think about that rain we got yesterday. We're seeing the results of it on the ground. It's not returning. It's here. Same with the snow. The snow comes down and we see it. It doesn't go back up. He says, it comes down, it doesn't return, but what does it do? It waters the earth. Or you could say this way, saturates the atmosphere. Doesn't it? That's what water, that's what rain and snow do. He says, and the result is it makes the earth bring forth and bud. What's that mean? That water that comes down and hits the earth, it does something. It doesn't go back up. It saturates. And what's it do? It changes that ground that it hits, doesn't it? It causes it to bring forth and bud for what result? A blessing. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Say, thank you for the farming lesson, Pastor Mike. Well, God's not giving us a farming lesson. He's giving us a faith lesson. But he wants you to know, he's saying, just like rain and snow come down, because you have to understand this, because you understand this, it'll help you open your mouth. Just like rain and snow come down, they don't go back, but when they hit the ground or wherever they fall, they cause change in that. That change causes it to bring forth and bud for a blessing. Okay, thanks for the farming lesson, but why are you telling me this, Father? Verse 11 is why. He says, so shall my word be. So now he's saying, just like rain and snow, my word acts the same way that rain and snow act. What's he mean? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. What's that like? The rain falling from the sky. And shall not return unto me void. What's he saying? It doesn't come back up. Once the word is out, it's out there to do something. Once the rain's out, it's out there to do something. It doesn't return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. That's causing the bring forth and bud. And then here comes the blessing. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So what he's saying to you is when the word goes forth, now remember, when you're in belief, your belief is not detached from the word. Your belief and the word are one. The word led to the faith. They're one. They're connected. You can't have faith without the word. Hallelujah. So when you open your mouth and speak what you believe, you're speaking the word because you're speaking what you believe, which is the word. It says, when you open your mouth and speak, when the word goes forth, the word has principles and properties like rain, that it can change the atmosphere. You see that there? So when you look at your finances or your bills or your body and the doctor's report or whatever, and you open your mouth and you say, I call you healed, it's acting like rain that goes out, hits that situation, saturates that situation, causes things to change, and then causes it to bud and bring forth prosper into the healing. What God is saying, remember what the Bible said about his word. My word is sharp, it's powerful, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What's he saying? It's more powerful than any natural thing. You have to understand something about why speaking is important. Because when you open your mouth and you speak the word is not a natural property. See, what does that matter? Well, first of all, the Bible says my words are spirit, they are life. They're not natural. The word of God is a spiritual thing. Why? Because it came from the very spirit himself, God. So when you speak the word, you're speaking spirit words. Even though you can see them on a page, they're not natural. Well, what does that matter? Well, you have to understand that the spirit realm always trumps and manipulates the natural realm. It always has authority and power over the natural realm. And so you might think it's just empty words and speaking, but when you're speaking the spirit words, when there was darkness that overtook, the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness hovered upon the face of the deep. Remember that? That was natural. Darkness was natural. It was a void. Well, what manipulated and changed the natural? The spirit realm. He said, let there be light. That was a spirit word that did what? Went out, hit the atmosphere, saturated the atmosphere, caused it to change, and bam, there was a sun. Because the spirit realm always trumps and manipulates the natural realm. And when you understand that that realm has more authority than this realm, that realm created this realm. We give too much attention to this realm because we live in it, we can touch, feel, see, and hear, and all these things. But the unseen realm is the more real realm, and the Word of God is part of that unseen realm, even though you can see it on a page. So when you are laying in bed at night, and your body's being beaten down, your mind's being beaten down, and your finances, and you open your mouth and you say, money's coming to me, change is coming to me, and you speak the Word, you have to start thinking about it as when God spoke to the darkness, when like what rain does. It doesn't seem like rain does anything when it falls out of the sky. Why? Because you can't see it working. It's just like, well, rain's there. But we know farmers, they need rain. They want rain because they know rain works, right? You can't see it working, and it might make it feel like it's not working, but it's working. Just like when you're laying there, it can be awfully lonely and awfully quiet speaking to your mountain. But you need to do it. Why? Because that's the only way change is going to happen. For your finances, for your body. That's why I didn't mean to be nasty and mean to you in the beginning. But when the Holy Ghost told me, there's still a bunch of people that are out there not saying, it's like, when I got to get it through to you, your change depends on you opening your mouth and putting the word in your mouth and speaking it. I want to close with this. Go back with me to Mark 11:23. I've told this story before. Actually, it was a few months ago I told this story. But I want to tell it again because it's just so powerful and it's true. And you know, if I were to tell my testimonies, you know, we've heard them. All my testimonies are filled with two things. I believed the word and I spoke it. Every single one is laced with the same thing. I got the word on the situation. I got to a place where I was convinced. And then I just spoke it and spoke it and spoke it and spoke it until it came to pass. Every single one. How do you think I got through every month? $2,000 short. That's how I did. How do you think I got through that sickness? That's how I did it. How do you think we didn't have to put the sprinkler system in here? Because God spoke a word and said, you're not going to have to. So I believed the word and I spoke it every day. Father, I thank you. We're not going to have a sprinkler system. Yes. Not going to have to put one in. Praise God. Mark 11:23, look what it says. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, not think about the mountain, not gossip about the mountain, not daydream about the mountain, not worry about the mountain, not wring your hands about the mountain, not lose sleep over the mountain, not hope for the mountain to move, not wish the mountain to move, not desire the mountain to move. Whosoever shall say. Why? Because the words have power to manipulate and change the natural. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain. You can't think it away. You can't hope it away. You can't wish it away. It's the word spoken that has power. God, when he wanted the sun, didn't just... Come on. Come on. No, he said, let there be light. He spoke it. Amen. Amen. Mark 11:23, therefore I say to you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Do you see that there? Yes. He'll have what he says. Well, I love the story Pastor Nancy told about Brother Norval Hayes. It just blesses me every time I talk about it or think about it, the power behind this. And Brother Norval was visiting. He's a minister who ran with Brother Hagen and things. And he was visiting a church, and the pastor had told them about a young couple that had just gotten married. And the gentleman, I believe, came down with some form of cancer and infection all through his body. And he's on his way out. He's a young man. He's about to die. And Brother Norval said, well, the pastor asked, would you go over and pray with him? He said, yeah, absolutely, let's go. And well, they got to the hospital, and the guy was in such a condition and being kept from people because he was literally about to go any second, and just, it was a very sensitive situation. The doctors wouldn't let him in. Pastor said, listen, I'm this guy's pastor, and we're here to pray. You got to let us pray for him. And he said, okay, I think it was 30 or 60 seconds, one of the two. He said, that's all you have, all the time you have with him, and then we're getting you out of there. So then Brother Norval's like, this is my only shot at this guy. What am I going to do? So he did the smart thing. He asked the Lord, Father, what do you want me to do? So we went into that room, and there was the guy's wife. Went into that room, and 30 seconds to a minute. I think it was 30. I can't remember. Maybe it was a minute. It was no more than a minute. And the Holy Ghost said to say this to the woman. Mark 11:23 will work if someone will do it. Mark 11:23 will work for you if you'll do it. That's what the words were. The Holy Ghost said, Mark 11:23 said, what do I tell this wife? What do I do? What do I pray? Tell her Mark 11:23 will work if she'll do it. So he went into her and he said, lady, I only got this amount of time. He said, this is what you need to do. Mark 11:23 will work for you if you'll do it. Say. Well, time went by, a year went by, he went back to the church, and he noticed in the foyer before the service for that meetings that he was about to have, he saw that couple. And the man was looking healed and whole. And Brother Norval said, wow, there's that couple. We went into the hospital. And he said, yeah, he's doing perfect. He's completely fine. Everything's gone. And the pastor said, do you want to go meet him? He said, no. I want to go meet his wife. I want to go meet his wife. And so he went over and talked to her and said, tell me what you did. She said, I did exactly what you said. Because he also told her, he said, Mark 11:23 will work for you. And he said, anytime you think of it, just say it. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. She said, I did exactly what you said. Every waking moment, I just kept saying, he's healed. He will not die. He'll be raised up from this. The power of God's working him. Just kept saying things. She'd lay down and go to sleep saying it. Wake up saying it. Wake up saying it. And I guess I can't remember how long it was. I need to brush up on the testimony. Was that she finally, he was like in a coma. She finally saw some movement in his fingers. And it just like, ooh, that's a small victory right there. Praise God. And she just kept turning up the heat on confession. Saying. Well, how bad do you want it? And it raised him up, a miracle of God. But isn't it interesting, the Holy Ghost in that one dire situation pointed him to one verse. Mark 11:23 will work if you'll do it. And I'm here to tell you, Mark 11:23 will work for you if you will do it. Amen? Hallelujah. So we have some homework. Get the word in our heart and get the word in our mouth. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. We're blessed. We're grateful, Father, that you've helped us with these messages and how to navigate this life. Father, there's no doubt that life can throw curveballs at us and the natural can look a certain way and feel a certain way. But Father, we're not stuck with the hand that's dealt us. Father, we're not stuck with what the world gives us. No, we see a lot of people that were dealt pretty awful hands in the Bible, but faith changed it. Believing you, Father, and operating in the faith principles, turned that situation around. And so, Father, as we close this service this morning, I pray, Father, for each and every person in here, that this message would be branded in them, Father. Father, that it would burn in their heart, that they'd see this is how to cooperate with you, Father. This is how to receive what you have for us, Father. It doesn't come automatically. It comes through faith. And so, Father, we pick up the slack maybe in our spiritual apathy or laziness or casualness, and we say we're going to be like that woman, and we're not going to let off the gas until it comes to pass. We are going to press and press and press because your word always works, Father. Your word always, always works. We love you. We appreciate you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, if I could ask everybody, if you would, to bow your heads and please close your eyes. Ask yourself this question. Today were my last day on planet Earth. Do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I would go to heaven? You know, when I ask myself that question, I'm certain that I would. And it's not because, you know, I learned about it in the movies or media or, you know, some friend or family member told me their opinion. I got it right from the Bible, right from God's mouth. He said, if I would believe on Jesus, I would not perish but have everlasting life. The qualification for salvation is simple. It's believing in Jesus and receiving Him. That's it. If you're here this morning, you can say, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I'd like to. I don't want to miss out. I want to become a child of God. Well, it starts at the cross. And heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My intention is not to embarrass anybody or have anybody come forward or say anything on their own. This is between you and the Lord. But if you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, you can say, I've not officially done that. Listen, salvation doesn't come to you because you're a good person. A lot of good people in hell right now. It doesn't come to you, doesn't hinder, you know, stay away from you or elude you because you've been a bad person or, you know, maybe don't have the best past or anything like that. No, it's all about what you do with Jesus. So if you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus and you want to receive Him, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that's never made that commitment at all before we close the service? We want to make sure everybody has an opportunity. Father, I don't see a hand in the building, and so I trust that we're all walking in the light of salvation. But if by chance there is somebody in here or watching online right now by live stream or in the future via the archive, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And if you're watching by live stream, you say, I want to receive Him, but I'm not in service to raise my hand. It's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. It's the believing in Jesus. And I want to tell you how to get there. Just when this message is over, just go off to a quiet place and cry out to Him and declare that you believe in Jesus. And Romans 10:9 is the outline. Believe in receiving and ask Him into your heart. He wants to save you. He died on the cross for that. And if you pray that for the first time, send me an email, give me a phone call, and we'll talk about what God has for you next, because once you receive Jesus, you're a spiritual baby. And we don't leave babies alone to fend for themselves, because if you did that in the natural, that baby would struggle. That baby would have many hardships. It's the same with a spiritual baby. We need to be helped. We need to be given the right nutrition and loved in a certain way. And so, Father, thank you this morning. Let's just give God praise. And for those of you that needed healing, just keep thanking Him for that healing. That anointing was here. We praise you, Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anyone, of course, when we dismiss that needs prayer, come on up. Bible says we can lay hands and believe God for healing. Or if you want me to agree with you in prayer, that's also something God says we can do. But don't forget, we have fellowship over in the fellowship hall. And after service, we have Wednesday night service at 6:30. Love and appreciate you. We'll see you next time you are dismissed.